message is brought to you by the friends and partners of Elijah Amusan Ministry International. Be blessed as you listen.
Can I have a big amen to that? All right. Let's get into the word. Say after me, say, Father, I thank you because I receive revelation in the knowledge of God. The heights of my understanding is enlightened. Hallelujah. Ephesians 4 and verse 11 is a quick place to start. Ephesians 4 and verse 11. Ephesians 4 and verse 11, the Bible says, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Why? He says, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby the lying wait to deceive. So God wants us to unite in knowledge. He doesn't want us to have different shades of opinion. He doesn't want us to be wafted about by every wind of ideology. He wants us to be united in knowledge about the Son of God. He wants us to have a unified knowledge about the Son of God. Now, why is this important? Because the more of the Son of God you know, the more of yourself you know, because you are in Him. Somebody say, I am in Him. So we began a series last week, we called it In Him. So we talked about how that because we are now in Christ, we got some new reality, and you don't have to look at yourself with the lens of the former you before you got born again. Now you are born again, some new things are now yours. You now have some new realities that is completely different from the reality of the man you used to be before you met Christ. And so now that you are in Christ, you have to learn these new things that belongs to you. How many of you know that you could actually buy, you could buy a gadget, and you may never know all the functionalities until many months after? True or yes? Whether is it true or yes, I said the same thing. True or yes? I remember the first time Android phone came out, and then the first time I got one, when Samsung Duo came out especially. You know, I've been used to using touchlight phone. So for about 2 months or thereabout, we could have power outage in the house. And they would say, don't you know, that fuel, we'll use it all night. So it don't run it too early. Do you understand what I'm saying? But it's already dark. But you have to wait till around 8 or thereabout to ungen in the house so that we will use it all night. Okay. For 3 months, 2-3 months or thereabout, I was using my Samsung Duo. I'm not even that Samsung Duo of those days, Samsung Duo that first came out. And I'll be complaining. Oh, who can give me? I'll go to my younger sister, please give me your touch. I'm saying, oh, no. And she's all this don't touch my things kind of lady. So don't share anything. All right. So I'll be grappling for how to get light to grab my way in the dark. 3 months later, I found out that my phone has touch light. But I was confused because, you know, touch light phone has touch light. Do you understand what I'm talking about? But now this phone does not have touch light, but it has touch light. I never knew. All I had to do is to look for the app on the phone and just press it. I don't know if you remember that phone that time. You know, unlike those now that you just scroll up and see. Those days you look for the app and then you see touch light app. Then you touch it. Then the touch light will be out. Hey! I said, yeah. It reminds me of the story that a man of God, John Austin, the father of Joel Austin, told in his book about a man that was traveling to Europe from Africa. You know, so he was going by sea. Now, so he tried his best to gather some money to pay to go to Europe. So he paid joined the cabinet, you know, this cabin, this big yacht, this big ship. You know, in those ships, sometimes there's football pitch. They used to have a bar. They used to have, I'm not sure what I'm talking about. Very big. It can be like times 10 of this compound, a ship. Ship that carries cargo. Ship that carry, it can carry like thousands of people from one continent to another. The only difference between it and air is that air is faster. So they can take like 3 weeks trip. So I think it's about 3 weeks or thereabouts from Africa to Europe. Well, I don't know the specific place in Europe. I can't remember, but it's been long that I read that book. It was a book on the Holy Spirit that he wrote many years ago when I read it. I'm talking of Reverend John Austin, not Joel Austin, the father of Joel Austin. So he said, so this man paid for his trip. So anytime, you know, maybe the next day, all right, people go to the bar and just take drink. Some will go, you know, they will go for swimming. You know, some will go and, you know, they'll go for buffet. You know buffet? Not all these Nigerian buffet. Buffet where you can have like 8 different kind of, you know, meat. Lamb, goat, onion, chicken, you know, different, just kind of buffet. So he would excuse himself. While he was coming, he bought a lot of cereal because he felt, I can't afford the life that, you know, going by the sea would request of me. So when people are going, he wouldn't, you know, he respects himself, he refused because he doesn't, you know, you have to cut your coat according to your size, right? Is that what they say? So he decided not to bother himself with all that. So he will eat his crackers, biscuits, eat his cereal, you know, just to manage, and he will read his book, he will go back. So when they, after 3 weeks, someone said 3 weeks, when they got to the destination in Europe, so, the, you know, normally now, Europeans and even Europeans and, people in the States and abroad generally, that, let me just say developed countries, after offering you a service, they're likely going to give you a coupon of some kind just to get a feedback, like, how was our service? Hope it blessed you. So one of the attendants walked up to the man and said, we noticed something about you throughout the trip. You never associated with anyone. You were not, you just stood by yourself and you didn't come for dinner. We had 2 parties we organized every weekend. You didn't come for any of those parties. You didn't enjoy. You didn't join us in the buffet. You didn't come for buffet. You didn't come for anything. The swimming, everything, even the football, because I told you, they used to have football pitch. They have football pitch in ship. So we didn't see you in any of those activity. Why? Especially for the food. you don't eat. He said, well, I don't have much money on me, so I decided not to bother myself. And then the attendant said, dear God, in your ticket involves the payment for everything. So the guy was like, can I go? He said, you are here already. There's nothing we can do. There's no refund. It reminds me of the first time I was going to fly. I was going to fly from Lagos, so I would drop in Abuja, then I would go over somewhere northeast. So some people joined us in Abuja. We came from Lagos. So they've served us, you know that meal they normally serve now. So they served us. We've eaten it now. What's that? So when we got to Abuja, they were now serving us another one again. So me, I didn't put my man as a righteous man. So I felt, let me not do. You know, in secondary school, we call it striking. You know, like, that girl went to my school. All right, striking. So I didn't want to do. I was not like, you said, take now. I was like, well, we've taken one. Take, yeah, we still have to. I said, So I took it. Praise God forevermore. So the love of Christians like that. Let me tell you another story. Charles Spurgeon told a story. Oh, that one touched me so much. Charles Spurgeon says, once upon a time, there was a woman. She served the Queen Mary, the monarch, all her life, for 50 years. She served Queen Mary with all of her might, all of her strength. So Queen Mary called her and said, listen, you are, no, I think it's Queen Elizabeth, rather. that you are one of my best domestic staff ever for 50 years. Dedicated. So the woman now gave her, there's something they call a bequest. I think that's the English, old English word. In that bequest, what she did was that she wrote that this woman, all her life, should be taken care of by the governing council, from the purse of the governing council of Britain. So this woman, she was happy. The problem is she cannot read. So she took it and went to frame it. Like she was happy. Like, how? I got a recommendation from my boss, the queen. You know how the queen is celebrated till today now? You know what I'm talking about. So she went to hang it. So Charles Spurgeon went to her house. But now queen has died for many years. And she too, she is aged already. But now that queen has died, her boss has died, she's living in one little pantry, like a cabinet made with wood. That's where she's living now because she has to leave the palace. You know, she was like a house girl. You know what they call like domestic staff, house girl. Now she has grown old. Queen has died. She has grown old. But she hung that thing on her house. So Charles Spurgeon is called the Prince of Preachers. That's my best post-apostolic preacher. So he walked into his house, her house rather, where she's living, a little small pantry made with wood. And then he said, what is this thing on your wall? She said, don't touch it. Queen gave it to me. So precious to me. You know, he said, but let me touch it. He says, but just when you go close to it, please make sure it doesn't fall down and break. I say, okay, I promise. So he took it from the wall and Charles Spurgeon read through. Charles Spurgeon said, dear God, Queen had signed on it that she should be catered for. Her bills, feeding, housing, everything. Well, Charles Spurgeon went to reclaim all her rights for her. They call it bequest. But guess what? It wasn't too long she would die. So she didn't live to enjoy all those benefits. A lot of Christians are like that. They haven't found out the things that belong to them. They haven't found out these things that belong to them. So when you came into Christ, you have certain realities. So all you have to do is to, you know, find these realities for yourself and begin to walk in the light of it. So last week we spoke about how that in Christ we are new creation. True? Then we also saw that in Christ we are what? We are the righteousness of God. And we saw all some of the features that being the righteousness of God means. I want to continue today. Number three, we have looked like number one, in Him we are new creation. Number two, in Him we are the righteousness of God. Number three, in Him we can do all things in Him. Say, I can do all things. Say it louder. Say, I can do all things in Him. Now, in the book of Philippians 4 verse 13, the Bible says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. I can do all things. And the context of that word simply means, I can stand firm in any situation. When you read the pretext and the context of that scripture, Apostle Paul was affirming how that he can manage himself in time of lack and he can still live well in time of plenty. I too. Glory to God forevermore. Forget the way I am living. I can enjoy myself. If you really give me the opportunity to. And I can also manage. In other words, irrespective of the circumstances, I can be constant. Somebody say, irrespective of situation, I am constant. So in the Amplified Version, he says, I can do all things which he has called me to do through him who strengthens and empowers me to fulfill his purpose. I am self-sufficient in Christ's sufficiency. I am ready for anything. I am equal to anything through him who infuses me with inner strength and confident peace. Shout amen, somebody. Amen. So, you see, you have to realize that you can't really do so much without God. And this God that you can't do so much without him, he lives in you. You live in him. So in him, you are up to the task. Not even just up to the task. You are more than up to the task. In the book of 1 Samuel 2 verse 9, the Bible says, by strength shall no man prevail. By strength shall no man prevail. Zechariah 4 verse 6 says, it's not by power, it's not by might, but by the Spirit, says the Lord. So you need strength. You need strength. You see, as Christians, you must learn to acknowledge the ministry of the Holy Ghost to strengthen you. Because in Christ, you can do all things. Many of you, you try to figure out things with your natural strength, and that's why you always fail. Listen, the Holy Ghost in you is not some man there joking. He is not some man there cuddled up inside you. No, when you go born again, he mingled himself with you. He is one with you. And you can trust him for strength. There are a lot of times when you know the right things to do, but you find you lack the motivation to do it. At such time, trust the Spirit of God. Acknowledge him. Let me be honest with you. If you will learn to acknowledge the Holy Ghost in your life, you will accomplish so much stresslessly. Just acknowledge him. If you feel weak about something, you know, sometimes you could feel so draggy about doing the will of God. Sometimes Christians know the right things to do at the right time, but they lack the motivation. When you find yourself in such situation, at such time, acknowledge the Holy Ghost. He's his ministry. His ministry in your life is to strengthen you. He's not there in you for a joke. Somebody say, so how am I going to acknowledge him? I'll tell you. Speak words. Say, Holy Spirit, I acknowledge you today. I receive strength in my inner man. And then you pray in tongues some more. In the book of Ephesians 3 and verse 14, Paul was praying for the church in Ephesus. He says, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family never heard his name, that he will grant you to be strengthened with might. To be strengthened with might. Might there is from the Greek word dunamis. To be strengthened with power by his Spirit in the inner man. Sometimes you feel draggy to do spiritual things. You don't feel like praying. You don't feel like studying the word of God. You don't feel like, you know, doing that spiritual assignment that was given to you in your department. You just lack the motivation. You want to do it, but you lack the motivation. Guess what? All you got to do is to acknowledge the Holy Ghost in you. You were not meant to carry out spiritual activity with natural abilities. There's a supernatural strength for spiritual ability. That's why many of you, you agree with me. There are times when you're back from classes, you're tired, or you came back from a very stressful, hectic day, and then you shut the door behind you, went to the bathroom, you took some nice bathing, all right, you shut the door, close the blind, you know, turn on the AC, you went nude like I used to do, and you just try to say, you mutter some words, you find yourself just mumbling, you're tired. But for the next 5 minutes, you just don't know where the strength came from. You stood on your feet and you began to pace the floor. And then you notice, 1 hour, 1 and the other, and then you're done praying and you still feel like praying more. And you're like, dang, where did the strength come from? Why? Because when it comes to spiritual activity, you require spiritual abilities. You require spiritual strength. For by strength, natural strength, shall no man prevail. You can't do the things that are meant to be done spiritually with natural strength. You can't trust your natural strength to do spiritual things. You have to acknowledge the Holy Ghost. So in him, you can do all things. In other words, you can withstand, no heat, anything that comes your way. There's an inner fusion of strength by the Spirit for you to stand out, irrespective of anything that comes your way. By the way, the Spirit of God, one of the names is called, is the Spirit of Might. He is called the Spirit of Might. When you think about Samson, you think he's a man that was big? No, he wasn't a big man. But he had the Spirit of Might come on him. That Spirit of Might comes on him. He could jack the old gate of a city, put it on his back, guess what, and still climb the mountain with it. That's the Spirit of Might. So you can trust the Holy Ghost to strengthen you. To strengthen you. Ephesians 6 verse 10, the Bible says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." Listen, I want to talk to someone today. Is there an area where you really feel weak and need strength? You've prayed and you can't see, not limelight yet. That's what the Holy Ghost can do. You need strength on the inside. Yeah, I understand that there are so many, you know, psychological things you should do and you can do, and they are helpful. Psychologists will help you, counselors will help you, you know, and so on and so forth. But guess what? You got the Holy Ghost in you, you can walk out of any challenge. You can walk out of any addiction. You can walk out of any wrong habit. You can. Any trouble. Listen. Paul was troubled in 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 6. Go to verse 7. 2 Corinthians 12 verse 7. He says, "Unless I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations that were given to me, a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure." Now, so many theologians try to quote this scripture to say even Paul was sick. He had thorn in his flesh. They don't understand Bible language. Thorn in the flesh here is a borrowed metaphoric language. It's a figure of speech. When you say thorn in the flesh, it means something, it's a metaphor for something that is troublesome. Something that is causing some sense of nuisance. That's what you call thorns in the flesh. There is a law in Bible hermeneutics. Pay attention. This is Bible study. There's a law in Bible hermeneutics. Hermeneutics is the science of Bible interpretation. We call it the law of first mention. Now, the law of first mention says the first time a phrase or a word is used in scripture, the contextual use of it usually sets the tone of usage in every other places you will find it in scripture. For instance, when you see the word holy, the first time holy was seen in scripture is in the book of Exodus 3:5. When God told Moses, the angel told Moses, says, "Where you are is a holy ground." So holy in that place is not necessarily sinlessness, because that ground cannot be sinless. He has not committed. Do you know what I'm talking about? Holy in that context is more of consecration. So that grant is holy because God chose to speak from that grant. So the presence of God allocates holiness. So you are holy not because of what you do, but because the Holy Spirit lives in you. So that set the tune. And the word holy appeared over 20 times in Exodus alone. And no one time was it spoken about moral excellence, even though moral excellence is a component of holiness. He talks about the garment of Aaron being holy. He talks about, can a garment express moral excellence? He's only speaking about how it is set apart. So there are many words like that. So thorn in the flesh appeared for the very first time in Numbers. And the first time it appeared in Numbers, let me just do a few exegesis. Let's look at it. Open to Numbers, everybody. I didn't plan to do this, but it's going to bless someone. Numbers 33 and verse 55. Numbers 13 and verse 55. It says, "But if you will not drive out," God asks them to drive out the inhabitants of this new land. "If you will not drive out the inhabitants of the land, from before you, then it shall come to pass that those which ye let remain of them shall be pricks in your eyes and thorns in your flesh. Do you understand? That means these people, you're supposed to drive them out. You know the land God gave them. Hittite, Jebusite, you know, all those Hittite. So now God says, if you don't drive them out, they will become torn in your flesh. It's a figure of speech that they will constitute nuisance. Are you following? So this is the language that Paul borrowed. Look at it. He says, and thorns in your sides, and they shall vex you in the land where you dwell. Do you understand? So that's what it means by thorns in the flesh. Let me give you another scripture, because you know 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 1 says, in the word of two or three, every word shall be what? Established. Let's look at Joshua. Joshua 23. The first time he appeared is in Numbers. The next time we see it was in Joshua. Joshua 23 verse 13. Joshua 23 verse 13. He says, know for a certainty that the Lord your God will no more drive out any of these nations from before you, but they shall be snares and traps unto you, and scourge you in your side, and thorns in your eyes. Do you understand? That means they will constitute nuisance to you. Listen, these are oriental languages. That was the second time it appeared. The third time it appeared was in Ezekiel, but not very vivid, but you can still get it. Let's check it. Ezekiel 28 and verse 24. It says, and there shall be no more a pricking briar, can you see, unto the house of Israel, nor any grieving thorn of all that are round about them that despise them, and they shall know that I am the Lord God. Do you understand the statement? So God is saying, I will take away anything that will give them trouble. Anything that will constitute nuisance. So it's a borrowed language. It's a borrowed language. It's a figure of speech. So now when Paul now borrows this language. Now go to 2 Corinthians 12 that we were in. 2 Corinthians 12 that we were in. Let's go there. You know this Bible study. So you have to be patient. Are you learning? Are you learning something? I'm not used to think this scripture means that Paul was once sick. Can you see hands up? Good. So that means, you know, a knowledge has been passed across today. Now, I didn't plan to go into that, but were you blessed? Now, let's go there. Let's go back to our 2 Corinthians 12, verse 7. So, it now says, look at it. It says, unless I should be exalted above measure through the... You know, how many of you know Paul had abundance of revelation? He's the one that wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. One man. And he came last. 2/3. He says, I labor more than the apostles put together. So abundant revelation was given unto him. It was in this same chapter that he said, look, I knew a man in Christ. He was talking about himself. Who was caught up into the third heaven, and he heard words that were not fit for man to speak. He says, I don't want to boast. If I want to boast. He says, but look. He says, so that I will not be exalted above measure through the abundance of revelation, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh. Can you get it now? A nuisance. And who gave him the nuisance? God? No. He says, the messenger of Satan. So, it was a messenger of Satan. He was Satan. And what was this thorn in the flesh? Human beings. Many times they stoned him. There was time they stoned him to die. They were the one, this was the nuisance. And Paul kept praying, saying, Oh God, take this thing out of me. Look at it. Go to verse 8. For this thing I besought the Lord. How many times? Talk to me. How many times? That it might depart from me. Let's go. Verse 9. You see, he's communicating in a metaphoric way. But he's referring to human beings. These are Bible languages. I'll do a master class. Probably first quarter of next year on Bible interpretation. It's going to be strictly for those who really want to learn how to interpret the Bible. It's not for everybody. Amen. Because it's going to be like 15-hour stretch. All right? We're going to have coffee. We'll get a smaller place that is with AC. You're just going to take coffee. You're going to get lunch. 15 hours. You will learn how to... I will teach you how to... Anywhere you open to in the Bible, nobody will bamboozle you. I know this thing, you know. I know him by the grace of God. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect when? When is my grace made? When is my strength made perfect? Paul now says, most gladly therefore will I rather glory in my infirmity, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. See, the word power there is from the Greek word dunamis. Let me tell you something about dunamis. Dunamis is where they got the English word dynamo in physics. See, dynamo, oh boy, I wish I had time to talk to you about this in engineering. See, dynamo is used, is what you, okay, let me just give you the principle. Don't let me bamboozle you with too much mechanical terms. All right? Now, the idea behind dynamo is, when you are using that energy, if you exhaust it, all right, it goes from mechanical to electrical, electrical to mechanical. Electrical to mechanical to electrical to mechanical. So as the energy is being exhausted, the mechanical energy is going into electrical again, producing more energy. So you cannot exhaust dynamo. So that means, listen, even if all it remains from you is just to be able to move your mouth like this, and you are able to mumble words. See, there is no powerless Christian. There is just what we have, a lot of inactive Christian. The power is there, but it is there as a potential. Simple integrated science. There's a difference between potential energy and kinetic energy. You can have a keg of fuel here now, gasoline, that can burn up this hotel. And it will be here 100 years. It won't do nothing. Even though it has the power to burn down the hotel. Yeah. So if you want to burn down this hotel, God forbid. Alright? All you have to do is to do what? Ignite it. So a lot of people have so much. So that's why I tell people, I'm sorry to say this. I'm trying to diverge now. But I didn't plan to say this. It just came to my spirit. Okay? Don't just marry potential. Everybody is a potential. I see so much potential in him. Marry a man's pattern. Alright? It's not just potential, pattern. Okay? You know what pattern is? Because let me tell you, a man without gifts that is consistent and he has a good work ethic, we outrun a man with so many gifts that is docile. I'll do a teaching one day on the wisdom from the four living creatures. See, look. So potential energy, no, who potential energy help? Okay, look at me now as I am now. All right. I have the potential to grow muscles. But where's the muscle? You know, there's one between being muscular and having muscles. Two different things. Everybody has muscles. Is everybody muscular? Praise God. I said, praise God. So you have the potential energy. All you have to do is tear it up. In him, you can do all things. If the Bible says you can, then you can. You have to first believe that. God says, I can, then I can. Even though it looks like I can, I choose to believe the report of the Lord. So if I don't seem to have that ability available in a usable format, then it means there's a work that is required on me. And that work is to stir it up. Stir it up. I was once addicted to granite. Some of you will laugh. Listen, let me tell you, when it comes to addiction, the object of addiction notwithstanding, addiction is addiction. Some of you are laughing. You think it's easy to walk out of any addiction? I will buy one bottle of granite and I will sit down with it and I will finish it. Then I will go and be using the loo. I'm using the loo. I'm finishing at the loo. I'm still going to the bottle of granite again. I have to pray. It's not a laughing matter. But when I trust God for the Spirit of God inside of me, Now I can have granite. I will just look at it. See, I'm no longer brought under the power of it anymore. I've exercised my authority over it. Someone says, I can do all things through Christ. So in him you can. Let me pick one more, then we, because time is fast spent. In him, I am more than a conqueror. Oh, I can preach 2 Sundays on this alone. In him, I can do all things. In him, I am more than a conqueror. See, the word more than a conqueror there, it means, the original rendition means, I have passed conquering. It's not like you are still celebrating the conquest. Mm-mm. You have passed conquering. It's like, imagine somebody coming now to your home, to your house, and says he's bringing a wedding gift to your parents. Does it make sense? Because it's not wedding gift. They are not celebrating newlywed. They are not newlywed. They have celebrated their wedding. They have entered marriage. They have enjoyed the benefit of marriage. They have bore fruit of marriage. I don't know if you get what I'm saying. So now they have passed wedding. Do you get the point? So we are more than conquerors. The original rendition means we have passed conquering. So that's why I tell you, as a believer, you are not fighting to obtain victory. You are fighting from the place of victory. Do you understand what I'm saying? Say, I am more than conqueror in him. That's Romans 8:37. It says, nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that what? Come on, through him that what? Number 5. In him, we have no condemnation. Romans 8 and verse 1. In him, we have no condemnation. Romans 8 verse 1. He says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. So question is there condemnation? No. Talk to me. Is there condemnation? No. To whom is there no condemnation? Go back. Go back. Romans 8:1. Come on. Verse 1. Media. He says, there is therefore what? No condemnation. To whom? Are you in him?
Yes, sir.
There is no condemnation for you. See, somebody say, but sometimes I feel, listen, when you do something wrong, okay, it is okay for you to feel remorseful. If you don't feel remorseful for doing wrong, you are not a Christian. You are not born again. But if you feel condemned, that's the devil. You know what condemnation is? To reduce you to nothing. Worthless. That's why some people, when people go to some meetings and they are crying and you see them, sometimes it's not true worship. Sometimes it's just guilt. I am nothing before you. I'm the one that you are. I am nothing, oh God. Oh God, I'm nothing. That's not faith. That's unbelief. And that something makes you cry doesn't mean it makes spiritual sense. People cry in Michael Jackson's show. People faint safe under the power. Michael Jackson just shut up. Billie Jean. I mean, it just showed up like this. And everyone just fall down. They fall under the power. That's something, I mean, I used to cry when I used to sing Dear Mama. And because, I mean, I used to cry when I sing Changes. I'm serious.
Pull the trigger, kill the nigga, he's on here, bro.
I mean, I will cry. Ra-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta. That's the way it is. That's just the way it is. Things will never be the same.
This guy, they sing correct. So that's why they treat black. So then they treat black people for America. And I will cry.
Or is it keep your heads up? Baby, don't cry. I mean, I'll just, but hey, it doesn't mean it's making any spiritual sense. Now, that's not to speak down on crying. Are you getting what I'm saying? Cry. When your worship must, your body must feel it, your spirit must feel it, but the substance must be the word of God. Amen forevermore. There is no condemnation. I don't know, the Spirit of God wants me to go back to that strength. Somebody say strength. Let me just stop here. Let me go back to that strength. You see, look up everybody, see, listen. Ephesians 3, let me stop there. We've spent so much time today. I didn't start early. Ephesians 3, verse 13, go back there. Wherefore I desire that we faint not at my tribulation for you, which is your glory. Verse 14. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of the glory to be strengthened. Somebody say strengthened. The Spirit of God wants me to emphasize this. To be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man. To be strengthened with might. Strengthened with might. Strengthened with might. Strengthened with might. Now, let me tell you about all the in him realities. Look up. It is a reality in the spirit, but it will only become a reality in your experience when it becomes a reality in your soul. So what do you do to make it a reality in your soul? I will show you. Deuteronomy 30 verse 14. Deuteronomy 30 verse 14. Media is doing a good work. Thank you. Deuteronomy 30 verse 14. He says, but the word, can we all read Deuteronomy 30 verse? Let's go to verse 12 first. Verse 12. I want us to read it together. Verse 12. It is not in heaven. Listen, the help you require, the strength you require, the salvation you require, the deliverance you require from that, wrong habit you want to walk out of. He's not anywhere far from you. Look at it. He says, it is not in heaven that thou shouldest say, who shall go up for us to heaven and bring it unto us that we may hear it and do. That means it's not somewhere far that you say, I beg you go bring it for me. Let's go, verse 13. Neither is it beyond the sea that thou shouldest say, who shall go over the sea for us and bring it unto us that we may hear it and do it. But where is it? Verse 14. But the word is where? The word is very near unto you. Where is it? How near is it to you? And where? See, listen, you have to bring the reality in the spirit close to you. How do you bring it close? In your mouth and in your heart. That, listen, this is the bridge between spiritual reality and experiential reality. Bringing it to your heart through meditation and to your mouth through confession, affirmation, declaration. Are you hearing me? That's the way you bridge it. You talk. I've told you, the greatest gift man had from God is the power of his tongue. You set that principle to work the day you got born again. The greatest thing that ever happened to you is salvation. How did it happen? With your tongue. With the heart, man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth. Go to Romans 10. Romans 10. Romans 10 and verse 8. From verse 6. Let's look at it from verse 6. Come on, time is fast spent. I got to rush now. Come on. In verse 6, it says, but the righteousness which is of faith, speaketh on this wise, say not in thy heart, who shall ascend into heaven. That means, how is this help going to come? Don't say it in your heart that who shall ascend into heaven. This figure of speech is like, when I'm saying, who shall ascend into heaven. What he's trying to say is, don't try to say, where will it come from? Look at it. That he is to bring Christ down from above. Let's go. Christ there means Messiah, the anointed one, the yoke removing, solution producing one. Don't say who will go to heaven to bring him. Look at it. Or who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring up Christ again from the dead? He says, but what? But what saith he? That means the righteousness of faith does not speak that way. So how does it speak? Look at what it says. The word is where? The word is near? So how do you make the word come near you? In thy mouth, that is the word of faith which we preach. The same principle in salvation. Then in verse 9 to 10, he says that if you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt. The same principle for everything. Salvation begins and it is consummated that way. If you will speak with your mouth, believing with your heart, you will have the results. Go to Hebrews 13. Let's see something there. Hebrews 13. You're going to see a principle there now. All these realities, because listen, this reality are realities in the spirit. But they become your experience when you bridge that gap. How do you bridge it? I just showed you. It must be in your mouth and in your heart. In your mouth and in your heart. There's something we call the cycle of faith. It is first in your mouth. Then it gets into your heart. Then from your heart through your mouth. The first one is the word of faith. The second one is the spirit of faith. The word of faith, you speak it to believe. The spirit of faith, you speak it because you have believed. So we having the same spirit of faith according as it is written, I have believed and therefore I speak. Can you see that? Be a talking Christian. Next week I'll show you. We're going to practice this next week because time is fast spent. How that we're going to look at those in hymn scripture and then you make it your confession. Listen, Jesus spoke about who he was, what he can do, and his mission on earth. He always said it. I am the light of the world. You see him talking that way. I am the bread come from heaven. Because if you don't talk it, if you don't affirm it, you may not experience it. Even though it is the truth. Listen, faith is like love. It is in the heart. But it has to be expressed in words. Alright? Okay? You don't just look around and say, I love her. I God knows I love her in my heart. Women don't know that one. They live in the world of words. The point is, love, just like love, that must be expressed in words. Okay? In the same way, faith is of the heart. But listen, it becomes experiential in words. You have to say it. You have to vocalize your faith. So, the things you have. So, you wake up in the morning. I am the righteousness of God. Is that the truth in the word of God? Yes. Is it your reality? Yes. But you have to say it. So, you wake up in the morning. I am a new creation. So you wake up in the morning, you say, I can do all things in Christ, which strengthens me. I have strength on the inside. Oh, I'm anointed of God. 1 John 2:20, 1 John 2:27. I have an unction from the Holy One. I know all things. I am strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Can you see that? I'm personalizing those my realities in him. Oh, I'm in him. Those realities that are mine in him, I personalize it. Then I vocalize it. I talk it. Hebrews 13 verse 5 said, he had said so that we can boldly say. So it what he said that was written for us was not written for us to just read and nod our head like this. You are not a lizard. Stop that. How can you come across beautiful scripture like Psalms 23 and you read it like this? Are you advertising Maggie? You see it like that. The Lord is my shepherd. You close it first. Shepherd, not an headsman. That means it doesn't carry me about looking for how to destroy people's farm. My shepherd, that means it keeps me in the pen, in a safe place, and he goes to look for the pasture. That's why it's called pastor. It is called pastoral farming. That's why I am your pastor. I gather the sheaf, I gather the fruit, and I bring it, and I feed your spirit. Can you see that? Do you study with me? Do I bring you to my room to come and sit down 5 hours and study with me? Do I allow you to disturb people's farm up and down? Do you know what I'm talking about? So you meditate that way. The Lord is my shepherd, my pastor. The word shepherd there is ra in Hebrew. It means pastor. The Lord is my pastor. I shall not want. Oh! Then it becomes your confession. The Lord is my pastor. I am never in need. You see, you are speaking in consonance to what he has said. He had said so that we can boldly say, not just so we can boldly read. Our response must be that we must vocalize what we have read and believed concerning what he has said about us. We are teaching you in him, not just to fill your head with knowledge, but to make it a reality in your life. In your life. And how do you do it? I just told you. You must bring the word near. How near is the word of God to you? God's word is not near to you by putting the Bible, all right, on your pillow. You can sleep with Bible on your pillow and still be oppressed in the midnight. There are people in the hospital now, they put Bible on their neck. They don't read Bible before until they got sick. And if you put the Bible on your bed, it will not come into your spirit. Eh? If you want it into your spirit, you must drive it in through meditation and talking. This morning I woke up talking. If you open my vein now, you will see scriptures. We'll be talking. Don't come out from my view, no. I'm just metaphoric, all right? Figure of speech. All right? What I'm saying is, I woke up this morning, I was just talking. Do you know what I said first when I woke up this morning? I'm alive to God. I'm alive, I'm alive. I'm alive, I'm alive. Somebody say, I'm alive.
I'm alive.
See, if you say it again and again, one day I'll play a video of 5 minutes to you. Of even science is coming up with this truth. All your cells will respond. Everything. I'm alive. I'm alive. I'm alive. I'm alive. I'm alive. A member of our church, Dodie Austin, the mother of Joel Austin, the doctor says she's going to die in 3 days of cancer, that the cancer is terrible. I'm talking of Dodie Austin, the mom of Joel Austin. Her husband is there. She's still enjoying her life. She locked herself up in the room. See, let me tell you. Can I tell you one thing before I close? Have you ever purged before? I don't know if you have been. You purged. Like, you took something to purge you. Maybe you went to eat a wolf. Then you ate too much. Then you needed to purge all this nonsense. Or you couldn't use the loo. Then your mom said, don't worry, we know what to do. Then they gave you some things to drink. And you purge, and you felt light. I know that I felt very light. Uh-huh. And then you felt, I don't know, when you feel light, you feel healthy. You feel like you can jump. Right? You feel healthy, right? That's the way to feel when you subject your spirit to the word. If you are free one day, just one day, put your phone on silence. Shut the door. Take your bait. Close the blinds. Play our tape from morning till night. Just go and take water. Sleep. Plug. It should be playing again. You sleep. As you are sleeping, you'll be hearing the tape. You wake up again, you listen. I call it word detoxification. I do it every year. Pastor, one of the secrets of my life, I will do 3 days detoxification. I will go and, when I was a student, I would save up money to go and lodge in the hotel. 3 days. No food, just water, fruits, just lock myself up. Listening to my pastor's tape and Kenneth E. Hagin. Just lock. I'll wake up. I will be having different dreams. You know the kind of dreams I will see? I will see my pastor teaching me in that dream. Wake up again. Most of the scriptures you see me know. It's not like I cram them. You know when you hear something again and again, it becomes part of you. Audio Bible, you play it. That's the way to let the in him reality.
We know that you've been blessed. For further inquiry, counseling, prayer, and partnership, please call +234 8074 07 8566. We celebrate you.